Welcome to Living Way Church as we are being transformed by the Word of God through another dynamic message from our senior pastor, Vic Prieto. Now join us to hear what God has to say as our service is already in progress.
How many know the Lord is really equipping us right now at LWC? You know, we're on this series right now where we are preparing for, we're anticipating, and we're celebrating Jesus, our soon coming King. Yeah, how many know the Lord's going to come back? Yeah, you know, and there's a lot of talk, a lot of things going on in the world today that raises a lot of awareness on how soon will that actually be. You know, I don't know if you're aware what the four square symbols are, but we have the cross, which represents Jesus, our Savior, right? And then we have the chalice, which represents Jesus as our healer. How many of you know he heals today? Yeah, listen, not just physically, but he heals marriages, he heals relationships. Yeah, he heals broken emotions, broken dreams. We also have the symbol of the dove, which represents the baptism in the Holy Spirit. How many of you know that Jesus said, John baptized with water, but I'll baptize you in the Holy Spirit not many days from now? Amen. And so there's that. And then there's the crown. And the crown represents our soon coming King. All right, so if that's what the four square is, if you're wondering, what is four square? Well, that's really what it is. It's the gospel message. Yeah, and so when we say soon coming King, well, you know, we don't know how soon that's going to be. You know, you read about the last days way back in the Bible when people were saying we're in the last days. Well, if they were in the last days, don't you think we're getting closer? And really, no one knows the day or the hour, but this is a lot of talk that's happening right now because of the wars and rumors of wars, the earthquakes, and, you know, all the different things that are going on in the world. This is a real situation. And so the Lord has put it on my heart to equip us. So we want to prepare for, we want to anticipate his coming, and we want to celebrate Jesus. We want to celebrate all this. So we don't want to approach this in a lot of fear, right? We don't want to approach this as those who are unaware, but we want to prepare for that. So Matthew chapter 24, I want us to read verses 3 through 4 out loud together, all right? Matthew chapter 24, verses 3 and 4. You guys ready? Yes. All right, let's read this out loud and together. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you. So like I said, we're on this series where we're preparing for, we're anticipating, and we're celebrating Jesus, our soon coming King. And the focus of our study up to this point in time has been around this caution that Jesus issued his disciples when they asked him about the end of the age. And he cautioned them this way. He says, watch out. Be careful. Take heed that no one deceives you. All right, so this is the very first thing that Jesus said to them when they asked him about his second coming. And so the Lord is saying we need to be careful in this time that we don't allow people to cause us to believe something that's not true, right? That we have to be careful that we're not easily persuaded and misled by certain things. Do you understand? And we each have a responsibility to do that. So he says, watch out that no one deceives you. In verse 5 of the same chapter, Jesus says, many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. I mean, in my lifetime, I'll be 57 years old in December. In my lifetime, I've seen that. People claiming to be the Messiah, you know, gathering a large following and taking many people captive. Right? We've seen this stuff happen in our lifetime. But come down to verse 11, and this is what I want to focus on today. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't be deceived.
Don't be deceived.
Look at verse 11 of Matthew 24. Jesus says this, many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Listen, the Lord wants to sharpen our discernment. All right, so my assignment is to make sure that we're equipping you to make sure that you won't be easily deceived. It says many false prophets. That's what Jesus said. Many false prophets will appear, and they're going to deceive many, many. So listen, we're living in a time right now where there are prophetic words flying all over the place. Right? We're living in a time right now where prophets are rising up and everybody has a word from the Lord. Listen, I want to make this very, very clear. I'm not opposed to that at all. So I'm not challenging that in any way. I'm not saying that that's a wrong thing. All right, so I'm not opposed to these things. We need prophecy. Right? We need true prophecy. Right? So I'm not coming against the prophetic. I'm not coming against prophets in any way. So I want you to make sure that this is not the agenda for today. We need prophecy. We need true prophetic words. We need men and women of God that are hearing from the Lord and declaring it. Amen? We need that. Look what Paul said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. He said, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Especially that you may prophesy. So I'm not here to dishonor, disrespect. I'm not here to come against or disdain the prophetic voice at all. Do you understand? So I want to come out of the gate making that very, very clear. But if Jesus said that in the last days that many false prophets will arise and deceive many, that warrants my attention. Does that warrant your attention? Man, we need to be careful, man. We can't afford to be too gullible in this hour, church. We can't afford to be too gullible. You can't afford to be so influenced by anything anybody says just because they say, God told me to tell you. Listen, not everybody who says, God told me to tell you, may be speaking directly for the Lord. Do you understand? And so the Lord is saying in the end times, many voices are going to rise up. There's going to be a lot of false prophets. And these false prophets will have opportunity to deceive many, many people. Amen. But look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 20 through 22. This is what the Apostle Paul says. He says, do not treat prophecies with contempt, but look at this, but test them all. Amen. Test them all, hold on to what is good, and reject every kind of evil. So listen, although we're not going to treat prophecies with contempt, listen, I want to tell you, every single one of you who is a Christian has a responsibility to test them. You have a responsibility. So do I. Look at how this reads in the New Living Translation. It says, do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said and hold on to what is good. Listen, it is your responsibility to test everything that is being said. Everything that's being said by me to you today. So you don't just test you test everything that is being said. You test my words. Yeah, because when you get to heaven, you can't blame me. You can't blame, well, that false prophet. The Lord said, men, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. And so listen, today, my assignment is not to cause you to question. I don't want you to cause you to be afraid of prophecy. I don't want to cause you to scoff at prophecy. My assignment today is not to get you to step back from it, but my assignment today is to equip you. My assignment today is to give you some practical tools so that you yourself can test everything that's being said. Come on, you need this. And I need it. Amen. You ready to learn some stuff today? I'm going to use the Word of God, of course, as the resource, right? 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And listen, it's profitable for these things. It's profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for reproof. It's profitable for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So if Jesus says in the end times, many false prophets will appear and deceive many, and then Paul says, listen, I don't want you to scoff at prophecies, but you need to test everything that's being said. And we have a lot of people that are saying, God told me to tell you, but we're not sure if God really told them. The question is this, how do we know when it's God that's speaking? That's the question we need to answer. Right? So I have four ways that we can be discerning because we need discernment in that. Amen. Right? We need discernment. Whether you're listening to the radio, whether you're listening to me, whether you're listening to somebody else, whether you roll up in a church service that you're visiting in a town, man, the Lord is saying, I need you to test everything that's being said so that you won't be deceived. So how do we know when the Lord is speaking? We need discernment. So I want to share with you four ways we can be more discerning. And I'm just going to share these quickly and then we're going to kind of weave them into the rest of the message. Listen, the first way that we learn discernment is by the Word of God. The Scriptures will give you discernment. All right, so listen, these are some practical tools so that when you leave here today, you will not be easily deceived. All right, so scripture is number one. If any time you are sitting under a teaching of the word or you're sitting under prophecy, you know, and then you recognize that they regularly get away from the word of God, I want to encourage you to take a step back. Yeah? Everything's got to, you have to have something to stand on. That's why we do our best to disciple you in the word, and we keep to the word the best we can here. Yeah? The second way that we learn discernment is by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives discernment. All right, so listen, the Holy Spirit inside of you will divide the truth. But that's not all it will do. It will bear witness of the truth. The Holy Spirit in you will be quickened when you're hearing truth. Yeah, so there'll be an agreement inside of you when truth is being spoken. You're getting it right now. You're saying something, there's something of value, there's something of truth that is being spoken right now, and your spirit inside is coming into agreement. It's a quickening in your spirit that says, I agree with this. Listen, the Holy Spirit inside of you will also give you a check when something's off. And you got to pay attention to these things. Lord says, I want to give you discernment. The third way that we gain discernment is by fruit. By fruit. Jesus said this. We'll look at this in a little bit. We won't turn there now. But Jesus said that false prophets will arise. There'll be false prophets. And they'll come as sheep, but they'll be ravenous wolves. And he says, you'll know them by their fruit. Yeah. So another way that we gain discernment is by the fruit of a person's character. You know, his character or her character will tell us about that person, whether they're walking in integrity or whether they're walking in godly humility and the fear of the Lord. So fruit is important, and that leads us right to number four, and this is the body of Christ gives us discernment. Listen, I can't tell you how important it is that being in a relationship and in a close-knit community of faith where you belong to a body of believers is important, because it's good to know that you know who's talking to you. You need to know, man, is there fruit producing life? Is the fruit of their life producing things that I can say, listen, I want you to speak a word to me. And this is why, you know, the writer of Hebrews said that, man, we have to be careful that we don't forsake the gathering together of the fellowship, that, man, we're to esteem others right now and build one another and exhort one another. And it says all the more as we see the day approaching. Yeah, so being part of a local community where you have relationship, where people know you and you know them, you know, where you know that, man, this is a body of believers that I can sit with and I know their character enough that if they speak a word to me, I can receive it. Yeah? From their character. Is that right? So let's get into this. You ready for some teaching? Yeah, so the Word of God, the Scriptures, we're going to look at a bunch of verses today. And listen, you're going to walk away here today with some very practical things. And I guarantee you today when you're out of here, you're going to be equipped to be able to discern for yourself whether you are able to come underneath a certain teaching or a certain prophecy. Amen? So Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, let's look at this. It says, the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So the writer of Hebrews says that the Word of God is a two-edged sword. So it has two edges. All right, one edge of that sword is what is used to cut into the darkness and send the enemy to flight. All right, the other edge of that sword is intended for you and me. The other edge of that sword is intended to fillet us open, to open up our hearts so we can see what's going on inside of this thing. You know, Proverbs says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it sprow the issues of life. Right? So the Word of God is intended to fillet us wide open so that we can see what's happening inside of our heart, so we can tell whether we're walking according to the flesh or whether we're walking according to the Spirit. All right, so he goes on to say that the Word of God pierces even to the division of soul and spirit. Everyone say soul and spirit.
Soul and spirit.
So the Word of God is able to divide our soul from our spirit. All right, let me talk to you a little bit about your soul. The Greek word for soul is psuche, and we get our word psyche from this word. And it has to do with our intellect. It has to do with our feelings and our emotions. All right, many of us wear our psuche right on our sleeve. Yeah, we wear our emotions out there so everybody can see them. And that usually doesn't turn out so well, does it? The Word of God separates our psuche from our spirit. The Greek word for spirit is pneuma. We get our word pneumonia from this, and it has to do with breathing. It has to do with breath. When God created Adam, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. After Jesus died on the cross and he resurrected on the third day, he met with his disciples and he appeared in the room and he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit." All right, so these are two, it's almost like we have two different people living in us. All right, you have your psuche, you have your intellect, your emotions, and your feelings, and then you have this born-again spirit in there. Yeah? We have these two things that are going on inside of us, and many of you will be able to recognize that. Like, you know, why do you want to do things you know you shouldn't do? Well, what is that? That's your psuche. That's your emotions. That's your fleshly being, right? And so a lot of times we don't know what's going on here because they're all mushed together, right? They're all brought together. Well, the Word of God is able to divide these two things. And so the Word of God, you know, in the mouth or in the voice of a mature, skilled man or woman of God who has the Word of God in their heart, who's walking in the Spirit, they're able to take the Word of God like a surgeon would take a scalpel into a surgery room, and they're able to take the Word of God and gently cut away to separate your spirit from your flesh so you can tell who's in charge. Come on, are you hearing this? Listen, the Lord wants to build up your spirit always. You know, I put it to many people this way. What was born first, your flesh or your spirit? Your flesh, right? What's born of the flesh is flesh. What's born of the spirit is spirit. Lest a man be born again, he can't enter the kingdom of heaven, right? So your flesh was born first. So picture your flesh as the older brother inside of you. Your spirit's the younger brother. Your flesh is the older brother. Well, this is what's happening. Your older brother doesn't want to give up control. Your older brother says, "No, I'm in control." So listen, we want to get the Word of God in you. We want to disciple you. We want to build up your spirit man so your spirit man can reach over and grab the older brother by the scruff of the neck and say, "You're not in charge anymore." Yes. So that you won't keep doing the things that you don't want to do. Yes. You can be set free from addiction. You can be set free from anger, unforgiveness, outbursts of rage. You can be set free from temptations. Yes. The temptation of your flesh, right? You can be set free. So when Paul says, "Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said, hold on to what is good." Listen, when we're doing that, when we're testing everything that is being said, first of all, the Word of God will rightly divide the truth. Yeah? Secondly, the Spirit of God inside of you will bear witness to that truth and will give you a check where something isn't right. All right? So the Word of God will rightly divide the truth. The truth will be there. You'll recognize it. Your spirit inside of you will bear witness. You'll get a quickening in your spirit. Oh, what's being spoken right now is true. It'll give you a quickening to agree with the truth, but it will also give you a check. Your spirit will give you a check in your spirit if what you're hearing is false. And the Apostle Paul says, hold on to what is good. So you don't throw the person out. You just say, "Oh, I'll take that. I'll take this. I'm not taking that. This is a deception. This is false. I'm not taking it, but I'm going to take this." He says, hold on to what is good. Yeah. Amen. So listen, what we don't want to do as members of LWC, man, you're not to go and tell every person that they're a false teacher. Right. And you're not to point them out. That's not our assignment. Your assignment is not to expose the false teachers. Our assignment is to discern what's right and what's off. Yes. Amen. And then we walk in that truth. We can't be getting in a battle. You know, listen, I really don't want anybody at LWC ever disrespecting or dishonoring any church or comparing us to any church at all. All right? Because we're all jacked up. Yeah? We don't have it all together. So, you know, who are we? Who are we to even draw comparisons? We just know that, man, this is where we belong. This is what we're learning. This is where we're at. Can we agree on that? Amen. Yeah, I don't want to come against God's anointed, not even by accident. The third thing that happens is that the Spirit of God inside of you will give you discernment of the motives behind the prophecy. He'll give you discernment behind the motives of the prophecy. All right, it says, the word of God pierces even to the division of soul and spirit and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word of God does that. Listen, have you ever been in a church service where the preacher's preaching or the teacher's teaching and all of a sudden your thoughts are exposed? Like I said, like, this guy's reading my mail, you know? Yeah, what is that? Man, that's the word of God discerning the thoughts and the intents of your heart. So the word of God will not only tell you what you've done, but the word of God will also tell you the motives behind why you did it. And that can be for good. It's like, man, Pastor Vic, you preached this message. Well, what are the motives? Listen, I got to be held accountable to my motives. Am I going to preach a fluffy message for your tithe? God forbid. My motive has to be pure. And so what we want is a pure word of God from a pure heart with pure motives. That's what we're after. Amen. The other thing about the Lord checking on the discernment or discerning your thoughts and the intents of your heart, when you make a mistake, when you miss the mark and you do something wrong, maybe you step into a situation and really you wanted to help, but it was misunderstood and created a huge mess. And you're paying for that huge mess. And God says, yeah, but your intentions were right. Yeah, your motives were pure. You didn't make the right decision, but your motives were pure. So we see that the discerning of our thoughts and intents of our heart are good. On both ends, we need that. Amen? Amen. Amen. So we want the word of God from a pure heart with pure motives. Look at Matthew chapter 7. Everyone say fruit. Verses 15 through 16. Jesus is speaking here, and he says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. And he says this, you will know them by their fruits. You will know them by their fruits. Okay, so listen, if someone's prophesying over you, or if somebody, you're sitting under a prophetic teaching, and the fruits of the Spirit are not displayed, like love, peace, gentleness, patience, kindness, if those aren't displayed, or if the character of the person that is you're sitting under is not displaying godly humility or godly integrity, flee. Find another place to fellowship. Find another voice to listen to. Why? Because it's most important for you that you do not get deceived by any of the things that can corrupt the truth. Do you understand? So listen, I'm ministering these things to you, but man, there's an edge that is filleting your heart, but it's filleting me too. Because as I minister these things, guess what it does? It's holding me to another level of responsibility to make sure that, man, I got to be living what I'm speaking about. And if I'm not, I got to find someone I can confess to. And that's the same for you. We're all in the same boat, church. Yeah, I don't want to be deceived by not having relationship or having intimate connections with people that I can trust to share my weaknesses and struggles and insecurities with. Come on. Many people are deceived because they don't want to share. What we talked about in worship. They're too ashamed to talk about where their failures are. They're too ashamed to talk about their weaknesses. You know, so we're establishing here at this church, this is why our acronym is REAL, that we want you to come here without a mask on. And I talk about a mask where you're pretending to be somebody you're not. Do you understand? When you pretend to be somebody you're not, you're only being loved mask deep. Do you understand? And so the Lord is saying, listen, we're a real church where you can come right where you're at, whatever you're dealing with, whatever weaknesses you have, whatever setbacks you have, it doesn't matter. Just come as you are and let us love you there. And then we'll build up your spirit, man, and we'll help you to get to a place to where you're walking in victory. Come on, church. We're a real church. And listen, we're not going to sway from that to gain a crowd. Yeah, we're not going to put on some, thing just so we can get a few people in our seats for one night, because my heart is to disciple people. And I want to say this, LWC will grow organically through your authentic witness. Through your authentic witness. The growth will come organically because you're walking in truth and you're walking in humility. And people are going to want to have that because there's a lot of things out there we can't trust. Amen. You good for with organic growth? Yes. Turn to your neighbor and say, slow and steady. Come on, slow and steady. We're going to be consistent in our character. We're going to be consistent to repent of our sins. We're going to stay consistent in applying the blood of Jesus regularly. Amen? Come on. I'm not going to tell you to say this, but I'm going to say it. You belong to a good church. Now, if I told you to say it, you say, well, you told me to say that. All right. So look at Psalm 119, verse 130. Say this. Say, the word of God gives discernment. All right, so what are we talking about? We're giving you practical tools so that you, on your own, by yourselves, would be able to test everything that's being said. Whatever, if you're listening to the radio, if you're visiting another church, or whatever it is, you're at a conference, the Lord says, man, I want to give you the tools today so that you're able to test everything that's being said. Is this good for you?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Look at this. Psalm 119, verse 130 says, the entrance of your words give light. Everyone say, your words. Notice that's a capital Y. Listen, the entrance of my words won't give you light unless my words are his words. When his words come out of my mouth, then his words out of my tongue will give you light. It says the entrance of your words gives light. Another translation which I like, it says the unfolding of your word gives light. Listen, have you ever heard someone say, the light just turned off? Or the light just turned on. The light just came on. Have you heard that before?
Yes.
Or they would say, a light just went off in my head. You know, a person will use that term when all of a sudden, suddenly, they have understanding of something that they previously didn't have understanding of, right? Amen. Well, here it says, the unfolding or the entrance of your word gives light. So listen, prophetic words or prophetic teachings will bring revelation to you. They'll bring insight and understanding. They'll bring clarity to something about your life that you didn't previously understand. This is how you'll know. You'll know that, man, this is a truth. This is an entrance. The unfolding of this word came out, and it gave me clarity. It gave me understanding, insight into something in my life that I didn't understand. It says, the entrance of your word gives life. And then he says this, it gives understanding to the simple. Say that with me. Say, God's word gives understanding to the simple. Okay, so listen to me. If someone is preaching over your head, or if someone is teaching over your head, in other words, they're using words you don't understand. They're using a vocabulary that causes you to have to go home and thumb through your thesaurus for a week, or look up the Greek and the Hebrew, so you can kind of barely get a glimpse of what was said. Listen, if that is happening, if you're in a place where someone is preaching or teaching or prophesying over your head and you can't understand what they're saying, throw it away. Throw it away. Let me tell you why, okay? Because God knows how to communicate with you in a way you understand. Do you understand? He knows how to talk to you right where you're at. And I don't care how educated someone might sound, if they're prophesying over you and they're speaking to you and you can't understand it because the words are too big, I'm just saying, don't even waste your time. God will talk to you in a way that you understand. He knows exactly your language. Come on, church. Hey, let me give you another hint, too. Let me give you another one. Are you ready for it? God doesn't only speak in Old King James Version. He can speak beyond that. Thus saith the Lord God Almighty. He can speak in a language you understand.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord has to communicate with you. Look what 1 Corinthians chapter 14 says, verses 8 through 12. Now listen, I know that in this, Paul is talking about tongues operating in the church. All right, those of you that are taking OSL, we're studying some of these things. All right, so the Apostle Paul is talking about tongues. in the church. But listen, I want to tell you that this applies to what I'm talking about. All right, this is what he says. If the bugler doesn't sound a clear call, how will the soldiers know they're being called to battle? Verse 9. It's the same for you. If you speak to people in words they don't understand, how will they know what you're saying? You might as well be talking into empty space. There are many different languages in the world, and every language has meaning. But if I don't understand the language, I'll be a foreigner to someone who speaks it, and the one who speaks it will be a foreigner to me. And the same is true for you. Since you are so eager to have the special abilities of the Spirit that the Spirit gives, seek those that will strengthen the whole church. Amen. So listen, when you're sitting under teachings, when you're sitting under a prophetic word, whatever it is, if you don't get it because the words are too big, my encouragement, don't beat yourself up and go home and go down a whole big rabbit trail trying to figure out what they said, because God will make his way clear. The entrance of his word will give you light. Yes. Amen. And it will happen quickly, and you'll know it. Your spirit will know it. Yes. Amen. So listen, one of the ways that the enemy would try to deceive you and deceive me is that he would get us chasing words that we're trying to figure out. Listen, turn to your neighbor and say, you don't have to know everything. There are some things we just need to say, Lord, I'm just going to trust you. Listen, this is where I have peace. I'm taking this with me. I'm taking this with me. Amen? Look at verse 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We looked at this earlier. It says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. All right, now come down to verse 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Look at this. Says, he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. All right? Pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you would prophesy. All right? Well, he who prophesies does this. Speaks edification. Everyone say edification. Exhortation. And comfort to men. Listen, this is New Testament prophecy. This is New Testament prophecy. New Testament prophecy speaks edification. This is when the Lord starts speaking to you and encouraging you and building you up. Yeah? New Testament prophecy speaks exhortation. All right, this is when the Lord speaks to you and the Lord motivates you to get moving. Motivates you, man, get moving, move forward, let's go. And then New Testament prophecy speaks comfort to men. This is when the Lord just wraps his loving arms around you and says, man, it's going to be okay. I got you. We're going to get through this. You're not alone. I'm with you. Amen? This is what it is. But listen, if someone is prophesying to you or if you're sitting under teachings, test it. Is what you're listening to encouraging you upward? Is it exhorting you forward? And is it comforting you inward? Test it. Test it. Very practical, right? But listen to me now. This doesn't mean that prophetic teachings will not correct you. All right, so when we say, oh, it's to encourage, it's to exhort, it's to comfort, it doesn't mean that truth won't correct you. Do you understand? Look at 2 Timothy again. We're going to look at it from the New Living Translation, verses 16 through 17. Are you paying attention?
Yes.
Check this out. It says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true. Listen, I want truth tellers in my life. How about you? Yeah? I need truth tellers in my life. Man, I need people to watch my back. I need people to check me when I'm wandering, right? I need truth tellers in my life. It says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true, listen, and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. That's what the Word of God does. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. So listen to me. What are we talking about? We're giving you tools so that you can test everything that's being said, whatever scenario, whatever place you're in. All right, so listen to me. Even when the Word of God corrects you, even when the Word of God reveals to you or makes you realize what is wrong in your life, listen, it will never leave you without hope. It will always have a redemptive story to it. Amen? And so listen, the Word of the Lord in the hands of a person who's mature and skilled in the Word of God, one who's walking in the Spirit, listen, will bring correction to you in such a way that you're being built up. Yeah, you'll know it. You'll be corrected so that the truth spoken in love, listen, the truth spoken in love will correct you, rebuke you, and comfort you all at the same time. Yeah? This is how you know. So, man, if you're sitting under something, man, they're just coming down, leaving you without hope. Man, my encouragement is to step back because there's something missing. There's something missing. Listen, what I don't want you to do is every single time you get corrected, you step back and say, oh, no, you have to be corrected. I have to be corrected. The Word of God is profitable to bring that correction and to bring rebuke. The Word of God is profitable to show me what's wrong inside of me. What am I doing wrong? We need that, right? So don't run from correction, but just understand when the correction comes from someone who's skilled in the Word, who's walking in the Spirit, when that correction comes, man, it might be uncomfortable, but man, something inside is going to be encouraging you. It's going to leave you with a story of redemption. Man, I'm built up somehow. I got spanked, but I know I'm moving forward, and I feel good about it. Yeah, how many have been spanked before? He's I came in walking like this. Not recently. Look at verse 17. It said, God uses the word to prepare and equip people to do every good work. So prophetic words will equip you to do good. Yeah, to improve, right? To move forward. Amen? How many in a place right now where you say, you know what, I can use some improvement in some areas? Amen. Yeah, me too. Me too, a lot of areas. A lot of times, man, we come against certain situations, you roll up on something, and you get insecure. Man, I loved what happened today. You know, I tell you, I was insecure this morning. I was insecure last night. You know, you ever wake up and you just like, you feel like, is anybody going to show up today? You know, or you wake up and you're saying, man, I don't know what am I going to do next? Come on. You know, where you just, for whatever reason, you get blindsided and you forget. You forget so that this morning when we're singing that song, man, that he's been faithful, man, that he's always been faithful and he's not going to fail me now. Yeah, these are things that we need in our spirit. And listen, for me to come in here and pretend that, man, I don't struggle with the same things you struggle with, man, that would not be good integrity. Do you understand? Listen, I think the greatest thing that LWC has going for itself is our authenticity. People want to find something that they can believe in that isn't fake and fluffy. Where they say, man, you know, I can go there all jacked up and get the help I need by jacked up people who are finding the same help. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, you're all jacked up. Go ahead and tell them. Listen, I'm not asking you to prophesy or this is not a word curse. Do you understand? We're not throwing word curses at each other, but we're identifying reality. Listen, the moment that you think you're not jacked up is the moment you don't need Jesus anymore. You know, the older I get and the more I learn about Jesus, the more I realize how much I need him. Yeah, the more I think I know, the more I realize how much I don't know. And that's okay, right? That's okay. Look at Psalm 119, 105. You getting anything out of this today? Yeah. Psalm 119, 105. Look at this. Your word. Say your word.
Your word.
Yeah, let's talk capital Y. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Your word's a lamp to my feet. Listen, when you can't see 2 feet in front of you, true prophecy will give you clarity and courage to take another step. Yeah. When you can't see 2 steps in front of you and you don't know what to do, true prophecy will encourage you, just take another step. Just take another step. Just take another step. Amen? Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. A light to my path. So true prophecy will not only encourage you to take another step, but it will give you faith to see yourself prospering down the road. Yeah, well, this is important. Listen, the word of God will give you faith to see yourself prospering down the road. We'll give you faith to see there is hope. You know, yesterday I couldn't see 2 feet in front of me, and a word of the Lord helped me to take another step, another step, another step, one day at a time. True prophetic teaching is help me to take another step, and then something else comes in and illuminates your path, and you're able to see a little bit further that, man, I have hope in the future. Yes. Amen? True prophetic teaching doesn't give up on you when you can't see the next day. True prophetic teaching will help you to not only see how to get through your dilemma, but it's going to help you see hope in the future. Yes. Amen. Listen, listen, I want to tell you something. The Word of God will give you night vision. Yeah, listen, it will help you to see clearly in a dark world. When everything's dark out there and there's all these temptations and all this stuff going on, the true Word of God spoken to your life will give you night vision so you can see clearly in a dark world so that you can make it through life without stumbling. Yeah, that you won't trip over the temptations. You won't trip over the things that are luring you in. Yeah. The true Word of God will give you night vision. It'll help you to see clearly the right path to take. Amen. The Lord's calling us to maturity. Look at Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13 and 14. Look at this. Everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised. Listen to this. To discern both good and evil. Those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So the Lord is calling us to maturity. And in order for us to grow in maturity, we have to grow in our discernment. Well, how do we grow in our discernment, man? You know, we have to move from infancy to maturity as Christians. Yeah? And so the way for us to grow into maturity is that we need to grow in our discernment. How do we grow in discernment? We grow in our discernment by having our senses trained and exercised. And we have our senses trained and exercised by reason of use. In other words, you have to use the Word of God you're getting today. You have to put into practice what you are being taught today. Otherwise, it doesn't do anything. We're like what James says in James chapter 1, 22 through 25. He says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. Listen, deceiving yourself. Don't be deceived in this hour. Right? Jesus said, listen, we're living the last days. This is the sign coming, you know, when my second coming towards the end of the age. He said, man, be careful. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Many false prophets are going to rise up. They're going to deceive many. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Watch out that no one leads you down a path where you're believing something that's not true. Be careful. Watch out. Don't be deceived. And here, James says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Listen, if all you do is hear the word, but you don't put it into practice, you don't exercise it, you deceive yourself. So something has to happen when you leave here today. Something has to happen because, listen, if not, look at verse 23. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. So what does this mean? It means that man will come in, will be encouraged in church service, we feel strong, and then 2 hours later, you forget what you learned. You forget that I am a child of God. I do have gifts of God inside of me. I am filled with the Holy Spirit. I am not alone. The Holy Spirit's in me. He's given me discernment. He's given me strength. He's endued me with power to overcome darkness. He's endued me with power to be able to walk in victory. And you walk out of here feeling that way. 2 hours down the road, you forget all about that. And you go back to your own thing. And you're deceiving yourself. You're deceiving yourself. You have no one to blame but yourself. And listen, the Lord said, I'm calling you to maturity. I'm calling you to maturity. And so listen, in James also, we're not going to go there, but it says, confess your weaknesses to one another that you might be healed. Yeah? How many know you can confess your weaknesses to me? How many of you confessed your weaknesses to me? Man, what did it do for you? Who wants to share a testimony right now? You don't have to share the details of it. But when you confess your weakness and you held yourself to the Word of God, what did it do for you? Anybody can share a testimony right now. I got a microphone. Nobody has the courage. All right, do it quick. Come on up, Terry. No, come on up. No. No, you'll need someone's got to hear it because we're recording. Oh. Come on, quickly, Terry. You're next, too. Okay, we'll have a couple of them.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
I shared a testimony about a year ago. I was in a really bad place back in August, and God has just strengthened me, blessed me. I mean, beyond what I could even hope for. I mean, He really literally did everything He promised. You know, I mean, life had been good. 3 weeks ago, knowing everything God's done for me, and He's kept all of His promises, and 3 weeks ago, I got scared. I, for the first time, had not been sleeping well. Started relying on my own strength. I got a problem. I got to figure it out. And all year I didn't. God said, you don't have to do this. You're not alone. You know, Pastor Vic, he's been there giving me encouragement, giving me more encouragement than I deserve sometimes, making me feel good about myself. And then last week I stood up here. I gave him a hug when I came in. He knew something was up. Called us all up here and he prayed for me. 2 days later, I had the best night's sleep I've had in a long time.
Yeah.
On Wednesday, I was coming home from work, and I'm going to keep this really short, but this is really important.
Yeah.
Okay? I was coming home from work, and some things were going in my head. I pulled over. God said, pull over. And I sat in the parking lot, and I prayed, God, I said, I got this peace, but the problem's still there. I'm not trusting Him. And my problem wasn't with God. It was with me for doubting God. He did 1,000 things for me this year. My family's been healed and pulled together, but there's still something I need help with. And I sat there and I prayed for a sign. And I know a little bit about the story of Elijah and stuff, and this small cloud appeared.
Yeah.
And I saw that as a sign. You know, I remembered how Elijah got so scared and hid in a cave. You know, all the things God did for him, and here's a guy hidden in a cave. You know? Well, 30 minutes later, I get home. I'm not going to go into the details of it, but some of the struggles I've been having with is with my son. Just, I'm worried about him. He's going through some things, and I can't help him, but God can. And my son was saying something to his daughter, and I overheard it and laughed. With a small thing like a laugh, we had a small conversation. And that conversation was a healing conversation, and only lasted a second. Yesterday, I stood in my kitchen hugging my son, and we were both weeping. And I told him, I'm always going to be there to help you. I don't care what you're going through, but you have to come and talk to me. Mm-hmm. And that's what I have to do with God.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, thank you, Terry. Thank you, Terry. Eddie? Yep. One more. We're going to keep it too long. Eddie's a man of God.
Yes, I was walking down a really good path, and I messed around, and I stepped off too far at a place, and that thing just was bothering me. I just got to confess this to somebody, and I rode around looking for somebody to confess this to, and I couldn't find nobody, and the Spirit said, go out to the church, and so I came out to the church. Lo and behold, Pastor was here, and I went into his office, and I confessed my faults to him, and he put some oil on me. And prayed for me and gave me a hug, the biggest hug I ever had in my life. I tell you what, I was fatherless when I came up. And I never had a father. I never had a hug from a father. But that hug was just like it was from God.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, but when I left his office, and when I went out that door, I was just like hopping. <You know? laughs>
Yes, you were. Yeah.
Courtney was working in the office, you know, for Pastor Jim, and she heard hallelujah, hallelujah, all the way down. Oh, I guess I need this. Listen, I'm sure we have many more, you know, but listen, when you're part of a tight-knit community like this, and it's family, man, there's something special about that is necessary in this hour, because there's a lot of people that don't have anybody to cry to. They don't know where to go. And you need to know that you have someone you can go to that's not going to give up on you, and that's each other, right? That, man, I can go there, regardless of how shameful I feel or how far I failed. The body of Christ will give you discernment to be able to move forward in life. Amen? And so this is our goal. You know, our goal really is this. I mean, I love, you know, I met Terry through, you know, his boss, which I never met, but he called me, you know, and we met maybe 4 or 5 times. And then I met his beautiful wife, and she came in, and, you know, God saved their marriage. God did that. And now listen, God saved their family. For him to be embracing his son, that is a huge testimony, Terry. That was like so far removed from any idea that you and your boy would be hugging and crying in each other's arms. Come on. Listen, this is what the body of Christ is about. This is what the love of Jesus does. Amen. So the end of James says this. It says, he who looks into the perfect law of liberty. All right. First, he talks about if you're a hearer and not a doer, you're deceiving yourselves. You're like one who looks in the mirror, and as soon as you walk away, you forget what you look like. Forget who you are. Right. Then he says in verse 23, he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, listen, and continues in it. Listen, everyone say continues in it. That's a key. He who looks in the perfect law of liberty and continues in it. This is a key because what happens is a lot of people, they don't continue in it. You know, they get busy, they get distracted, and they're just not enduring. You know, they're not just after it all the time, you know, so they get flabby in their faith. So do I. That's me. You know, I was telling my wife, if I wasn't a pastor and I didn't have to prepare this week, where would I be? So I want to encourage you, you don't have to have a title of a pastor to be a shepherd to somebody. So if you recognize yourself, man, I'm a shepherd of my kid. I'm a shepherd of the people I work with. You go into your word recognizing I need something to give somebody today. You're on assignment. Listen, I'm a pastor. So, man, this is what I do. But, man, I'm telling you, if I wasn't a pastor, I would still have to approach the word of God with that intensity. Because that's the only thing I can offer somebody is the truth of God's word and his love, right? Nothing else. So he says, he who looks in the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, listen, and is not a forgetful hearer. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't forget what you learned today. But listen, but he's a doer of the work. Yeah? A doer of the work. Those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. Yeah, you're a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in all he does. How many want to be blessed in all you do? Come on, man. The Word of God gives us the instructions right here. Amen. So listen, this is the question, man. Are you able to distinguish good from evil? Yeah. Are you able to distinguish right from wrong? I think that we all have that built inside of us without the Lord. Right? So the next question is a little bit deeper. Listen, are you able to recognize temptation and flee from it before it traps you? See, that's the test. That's when you say, man, I got to continue in the Word. I can't forget what I learned, right? I got to continue in the Word. I can't be a forgetful hearer. And then the other one is this. Can you tell the difference between a correct use of Scripture and a false use of Scripture? See, these are the things that the Lord has shown us today, things to discern, recognize that, man, oh, my spirit's bearing witness with this truth. Come on, are you feeling that? Yeah. Listen, any given time I'm saying something, and listen, it might not even be that the word is wrong, but my attitude sucks. Yeah, I might be frustrated and be in the flesh, and you'll say the word is good, but the fruit's off. Listen, hold me to that. You're responsible. You're responsible to keep yourself on the straight and narrow. Yeah? Come on, is this all right? Yes. All right. All right. Let's stand to our feet. Do you guys get anything out of this today? Yes. Yeah.
All right. Hey, listen, would you just kind of stretch out your hands and just thank the Lord for his word today? Come on, just thank him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Say this. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you that it has instructed me in righteousness. It's equipped me for every good work. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for sharpening my discernment. Thank you for your precious Holy Spirit. Your Holy Spirit has quickened me to truth today. Your Holy Spirit has taught me today to discern right from wrong. Thank you, Lord, for helping me to walk in victory. Thank you for helping me stay on the right path. Thank you for keeping me from stumbling in this dark world. Your word, Lord, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The entrance of your word gave me some light today. The unfolding of your word gave me some understanding. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed this message from Pastor Vic Prieto. If you are looking for a home church, we would love to see you here at Living Way. Please visit Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. You will find us at 2410 Duneland Beach Drive, Michigan City, Indiana, or view us on the web at myrealchurch.com.